hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Tito Santana.
This is Kurt Angle.
This is Bret the Hitman Hart. And this is going out to Scott and Holly.
You are listening to the
Win Twice Wrestling Podcast
with Scott and Holly.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
And this holds for everybody. Ho!
Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to listen to the incomparable Win Twice Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, Scott and Holly. We always go over, brother, and that's the bottom line. Dig it? So sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 74 of the Win Twice Wrestling Podcast alongside your hosts, Scott and Holly. Morning, Holly.
Good morning.
Seamless, that, wasn't it?
Like
butter.
Like, thank you.
Smooth. Yeah. Smooth. Definitely was the first take, as always.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't muff that up. It's normally
muff
when we get...
Muff
that up? Yeah, that's
is
fine,
that
isn't it? Yeah, to muff something up.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I heard my mum say that, which is a bit concerning.
Now, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to pick at that scab, if I'm being particularly honest. But normally, it gets to the end of the show, and I always then struggle to think, how do I end this?
Yeah.
But this one, no, I just forgot how to use the English language, which...
Hey, welcome to my world.
Well, it bodes well, because we've got back-to-back recordings that we're doing today, so that can only means that we can go up from here, quite frankly.
Mm.
And we're going to a bit of a well-trodden path, although it's not in chronological order, which is...
Absolutely.
It's itching my brain a little bit, I'm not going to lie, Holly, okay. Not going to lie. But it feels like a long time since we've actually watched one of these, and one of these being Saturday night's main events.
Yep.
The Old Faithful, and we need to get a couple of quick ones in.
Oh, yeah.
We line up some Saturday night's main event. Obviously, with the network not being there, they've all gone, so we're having to be reliant upon what they do deign to upload on YouTube for us. But fortunately, there are a couple on there that we have not yet seen, and that's what we're bringing forth today. So we will still start chronologically, mainly because my brain won't allow me not to, and obviously this is the order in which I've written the notes down, because the show that we're watching after Saturday night's main event, I'd done the initial blurb for, and I numbered it, and I had to go in there and change the numbers because it was really causing me...
Okay.
I think I might be in some way on the spectrum. I just haven't decided in what capacity yet. So
I think we all are in some capacity.
We'll find out. I'll probably get diagnosed halfway through the episode and go, ah, yes, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Probably a little bit of everything, to be fair. But what I can confirm about this, because the information wasn't as readily available as it was for some of the other Saturday night's main events, I do know that it was on the 25th of April 1989, although it aired on the 27th of May 1989.
Ooh.
The venue was the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Des Moines, Iowa. The attendance, unconfirmed.
Ooh.
And the rating, I know it aired on NBC, but I couldn't find the rating, so we'll just go... Ooh, that was interesting, wasn't it? How does it feel going back to Saturday night's main event? Because it's
made me nervous.
Well, it's given some stuff as well. We've seen the only in-ring match that we've ever witnessed on this show of Jesse the Body Ventura.
Mm.
We've also seen Mr. Fuji have a headache and look how to medicate that. So what were you thinking at this point?
It, like you say, it giveth and it taketh away. I don't know. I think they automatically made me nervous because there was the one that I just honestly was like hell on earth trying to watch it. And I thought, please, just give me something. Even though they're short shows, sometimes they can feel so long.
Well, everyone's trying to get their shit in. I mean, it's literally just over an hour, factoring out the commercial breaks and all that stuff. But it is absolute... They're not walking or crawling at any point. It's like they've woken up in a full-on sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And for note-taking, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because everyone is so outlandish and gimmicky.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
There's never like a chilled, dull moment in it.
There was one match where I was like, oh, good. Thank God the pace has slowed down a little bit so I can breathe. But some of the promos that we see... over these two shows. Remarkable.
Spectacular.
Like, to the point where, I know you always use the Carly Kiss Cam as a reference point for things that are bad, so they're great.
So bad that they're good.
There was a few of them in this.
Lord,
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
With Saturday night's main event, we've seen that a lot of the shows tend to have some sort of theme.
Yes, they do.
So we've seen previously, we've seen Halloween theme.
Yes.
We've seen the pool party theme.
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot that.
I feel like we've seen other themes as well, but they're not coming to mind.
What were the Mother's Day ones?
Mother's Day, yeah, that's a theme.
There was a lot of cakes involved.
And there is always going to be, yes, a wedding. There's always going to be a bit of food play in these shows is what I notice.
Yep.
And my God, is there some food play. But not in this particular episode.
No.
But don't worry. That train's coming and we will get all aboard later on. Show opening, Holly. The opening shot of the show is a very oily Hulk Hogan standing behind the classic blue steel cage. The rattling noise of it is already getting on my tits. Hogan claims that it is overdue for the Big Boss Man and the Slickster to have their day in court, as for too long they have been passing judgment on wrestlers in the WWF with their own unique brand of justice. Hogan says he's the new WWF champion and it is his turn to be passing out judgment, brother. He's going to throw the book at them. The training, the prayers and the vitamins, roids, are going up against the handcuffs and the nightstick. Okay. Once Hulk finds them guilty, what you gonna look like when thousands of my Hulkamaniacs tell the largest arms in the world to press your fat head to the cage? There will be no mercy. There will be no pardons. I will sentence you to the maximum sentence, to be clear, a lifetime in eternity, the doom of Hulkamania. So what do you think he meant by a lifetime in eternity, the doom of Hulkamania?
Yeah.
Eternity?
Not a clue. Yeah.
And he came out with attorney.
Yeah, because I've put attorney question mark. I don't understand it.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Please tell me that wasn't the best take.
Oh.
Why don't you do it again?
Yeah, because it's not live, is it?
No.
Yeah, that's so true.
No, it's ridiculous. Well, Holly, if there was ever a word... if there was a word... Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
If there was a word salad, here we have it.
Yeah.
After Hogan finishes spouting nonsense, we head to the opening package of Saturday night's main event, highlighting the wrestlers that will be in action throughout the show. We see Hogan, Boss Man, Savage, Rick Rude's Junk, and many others before we finish upon the flexing WWF champion. We head now to the arena where, unbelievably, Vince McMahon is not screaming his tits off.
Oh, I know.
I was like, okay. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he makes up for it in the next episode.
I mean, yeah.
Standing alongside McMahon is none other than Jesse the Body Ventura. And Holly, he's back.
This made me so happy. So freaking happy.
What is it about him that makes you happy?
I like him with Vince. I like their little back and forth. I just like listening to him. He's got such a nice voice to listen to.
Yeah?
I like it.
There's a deep tone to it, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm just quite happy. If you're going to give me an old show like this, give me Jesse.
Well, I do try and aim to do that wherever I can for you, to be fair. But this one was a pleasant surprise, because I always thought it was around about this time that he actually left.
Mm.
And I don't think it was too long after that he was gone, which makes sense when we see, less than a year later, or nearly a year later, I think it's just over a year actually, to be fair, that we've got a new person that's beside McMahon behind the commentary desk.
Mm.
Just talk me through the outfit, please. I know we get to your segment at the end, but it's a little bit toned down, but still a little too toned down,
I'll be honest. It's just a tie-dye t-shirt.
Bandana.
And a sparkly bandana with his name on it.
Sunglasses.
Yeah, but I don't know. It didn't really give too much. It was enough.
Okay. It was enough to keep you going.
It just, yeah. Fine. I've seen much better from Jess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It depends. When you say much better, it depends really what you're looking for.
More flamboyant.
Okay, then fine. Yeah, then I would agree with you. Not only is this Corn County, as McMahon so eloquently puts it, Jess confirms that this is also Soybean County based on all the soybean products he can see sat in the crowd. Let's pretend at this stage that McMahon and Ventura are actually at the arena live for the call, shall we?
Oh, it's such a bad green screen.
It is, isn't it?
Such a bad green screen.
Vince begins discussion about the upcoming WWF title match between Hogan and the Boss Man inside a steel cage. Ventura is quick to point out that he believes Hogan to be focusing too much attention on his movie career and is taking the challenger too lightly. He's obviously really upset that Hogan's encroaching in his territory, the land of Hollywood, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Holly, you can take the boss... I need to read that last point for this bit to make sense. Ventura is quick to point out that he believes Hogan to be focusing too much attention on his movie career and taking the challenger too lightly. Holly, you can take the Boss Man many ways, but in 1989, lightly isn't one of them. He's beefy. He's the beef
he's
boss
been
man.
Eating.
He's the beef boss man right here. He's Oh, his promo as well.
Oh.
Remarkable.
Good Lord.
Remarkable. Oh, God. Demolition will also be taking on the Brainbusters later in the night. Yay. For the tag team titles. Ravishing Rick Rude will be defending the Intercontinental title against a friend of the show, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. So you're getting a full rundown of the show. So you're,
yes, I know. I was livid.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Look, man would like to take this opportunity to show us footage. Look, man. McMahon. Fuck me. I was like, when did I put that? Why did I start talking like man like Darius?
Look, man.
Yeah, look, man. McMahon would like to take this opportunity to show us footage from WrestleMania 5 and more specifically the match between the Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude for the Intercontinental title. Do you remember this?
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
We see Bobby Heenan grab the ankle of the Warrior, causing him to fall down to the canvas, allowing the Ravishing One to pin him and win the Intercontinental belt. Back now in the arena, we see Mean Gene Okerlund standing between Bobby Heenan and the Intercontinental Champion in front of the wonderful glitzy pink curtain. It's back.
Mm-hmm.
The pink curtain is back. Mean Gene points out that the Brain broke every rule in the book to ensure that his man emerged victorious. Wrong. Heenan didn't break rule number one. An incredulous Gene asks, well, what rule is that? And Rude says, just win. We'll get to Rude in a second. Mean Gene asks if the belt is not tarnished because of the manner of victory. Tarnished? This belt shines. Shines almost as well as the top of your head, Chrome Dome.
Stop it.
Hey, Bobby the Brain Heenan for you, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Mean Gene says it will be all over if they lose the belt tonight to Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You're a dreamer, Q-Ball, and so is that humanoid Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Oh, someone's enjoying Bobby.
Yeah, I did. I like it when he's talking.
Yes.
When he's getting involved in other stuff, I don't like it. But when he's doing this sort of stuff, yes, it tickles me.
You know what happens to dreamers, Holly? They get a rude awakening.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he blows a kiss. Okay. He does blow a kiss. And I'll be honest, nothing for me, not even a twinge.
Ick.
It's like a Pepe Le Pew, like doing his chat-up routine for me. It's just okay. Not, it doesn't work.
There's a point where he does it later.
In the match.
Which works better, I think, because it's right in the square,
yes,
of the camera.
Yes, it is.
This, no thank you. Please, no one ever do that to me.
Good to know. Success will apparently change a man, but according to Mean Gene, it hasn't changed these two one iota.
Ooh.
Opening match of the night, Holly.
Yes.
Ravishing Rick Rude with Bobby the Brain Heenan. Holly, yep, is nodding,
yep,
it very excitedly here.
Yep.
Versus King... Hacksaw, yes, Jim Duggan.
Yes.
Two questions for you here.
Oh, go on.
We'll start off with a lighter touch. King Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Thoughts?
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is. How many nicknames do you need?
True.
It's, yeah, I don't know.
Just King Duggan would have done.
It's because, you've got to keep Hacksaw in.
I know, right?
But it's because obviously he
dethroned.
Like, yeah.
Unthroned.
Dethroned.
That's a Hollyism, that is.
It is. He dethroned, as you would put, was it not Haku? What was yours, typo too?
Oh, Jake.
Jake, yes. I get Haiku.
Why? Every time I typed Haku, Jake. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
make it make sense.
I mean, maybe he likes to go as Jake, and the phone knows something that we don't.
He does in my notes, that's for damn sure.
I don't know if it works, to be honest. Coming out with the regalia that he did looks odd.
For me, it works for one person and one person only. Savage.
Harley Race. Oh, okay, fine. Fine, be like that. I'll just let you wax lyrical about Mr. Rude now.
This man is like... you see those old statues of like Greek, I don't know,
yeah,
gods or whatever they,
yeah,
are. He just looks like one of those. His body is ridiculous.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before. Like, for me personally, it's a little like I would prefer, like, you know, a bit of beef.
I wish you could have seen the gesticulation that Holly did there, because it went slightly chimp at one point.
No, I was trying to do like, yeah,
oh,
I don't know,
like kind of. Yeah, girth rather than,
yeah,
ripped.
But he's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks insane.
Bit of a prawn.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, the stash is giving.
Mm.
It's no Tom Selleck, but it's still giving.
It's the hair and the tash that I'm not a fan of.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate it was an 80s look,
yeah,
and this is still just about in the 80s, so
yeah,
we're fine with it. I get why women would like it, but
yeah,
the dude's rocking the same haircut as my mum for that period,
I mean,
of time.
Yeah, the hair is a bit much, but I just... Even not in a pervy way, right? I just look at him and go, my God, that's impressive.
Yes.
So impressive. And I've said it before, it's like a swimmer's physique.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So lean.
And what do you say about it in a pervy way then?
Okay.
Mummy like.
Oh, God, that's sickening. That is vile. I hate that.
Oh, she's joking. She loves it, really.
No, I don't.
She cannot get enough of it.
I hate that.
We get set for the opening match of the night as the defending champion incorrectly makes his way down to the ring first. This physique will always intimidate me.
I'm surprised he hasn't given himself a hernia, though, tensing so hard.
Oh, absolutely. Outrageous, and the women in the crowd sure do love it. Not just in the crowd. With the champion in the ring, we head backstage once again to Mean Gene, who is standing beside the new king of the WWF, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Mm.
It's a shame, Holly, that more royalty don't look like that. To be fair, some of them probably did in the years where inbreeding was more of a thing, but in certain royal lineages at least, but I don't know. Doesn't look right to me. Imagine, like, you see, like, one of these royal processions that happen in the UK, and then they open the carriage door, and this guy gets out with his 2x4, go, ha! The crowd
like,
what's happening? What is happening?
It'd be great.
I think it would certainly be something. A cross-eyed Duggan tells us that he dedicates tonight's match to all the proud Americans who gave their life to keep the flag flying over the US of A, and everybody else should also. As he continues talking, the crown slowly slips over his eyes, making for great comedy.
It's like when you're sat round the table at Christmas, having Christmas dinner,
yep.
And your hat out, your cracker just slides lower.
In the middle of charades.
And lower.
Yep. Also, what does he mean everybody should? Is he expecting me to dedicate a match that I'm not in? Everyone should.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
He should have had words with Sergeant Slaughter from the next show. Duggan tells us that the Intercontinental title should not be worn over fancy pants, like what Rick Rude has. It should be worn by someone who loves the red, white and blue. Rude could be patriotic, you don't know that, you've made an assumption. Yeah. Rude strikes him as being somewhat more pink, if you know what he means.
Mm.
So just to clarify, Hacksaw thinks that Rude is gay.
But why? I don't understand why this is a thing.
80s.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I know which one I'd rather look like. Although one of them is dead and one of them isn't.
Fair.
Yeah, because Rude died like mid-40s.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad. And Hacksaw, he will outlive everyone.
Well,
he will outlive everyone. It's great that his eye got fixed as well, isn't it? Because in every promo back then, because I heard if the wind changes... I mean, good job we did the promos inside, because he would have been cross-eyed for a long time. But now, he just talks, he's quite normal.
Yeah.
Where in these interviews, he's like... Honestly,
it's too much. It gives too much for me.
How do you say it? It's like overstimulated.
Yes.
With so many things on one person.
Yes.
I feel like that's what I get from Duggan, where like I watch one of his segments and it takes me 6 times the length of the actual segment to kind of digest it and put something in writing.
Yeah, because he's faffing around with something, whether it be his 2x4 or a crown or something. Yeah,
or both.
His eyes are all over the gaff.
Flag.
Intentionally.
Yeah, yeah.
His tongue is out at one point and I just can't do it. I can't.
One thing for sure, subtlety is not our king's strong point. Gene asks Hacksaw what his plan is for Heenan, as we saw what he did to Warrior. Duggan tells us he'll be keeping an eye on the brain and one eye on Old Glory. Actually very impressive, considering as he will also be keeping both eyes on the centre of his nose. Now, I'll tell you what I find unsettling. Hacksaw coming out on a throne wearing royal regalia to what I consider to be Jerry the King Lawler's entrance music.
Oh.
Not only that, he is being carried by a bunch of gimps. Do you see them? They weren't wearing like the leather and stuff like that, but they look like what your mate would be interested in.
Oh my God.
Submissives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, just because none of them look...
Well, none of them want to be there by the looks of it.
Well, exactly. Faces. And therefore, I feel like they're under the thumb a little bit. I'm not saying under Hacksaw's thumb, because that's always up in the sky. So, you know, he couldn't be doing that to it. But I don't like it, and I don't want it.
No.
So, yes. Fortunately, Jess is in full agreement with me on this, that it doesn't look right. No sooner does Duggan enter the ring, he rallies a chant of USA. At least he's in the right country to do it this time.
Of course.
The bell sounds, and I am just about to comment on how childlike Hacksaw looks as he grabs his robe and holds it out wide like a cape, when McMahon says on commentary that he looks like a giant Batman. Also, what a childish explanation. You look like a giant Batman.
Yeah.
No. As Hacksaw removes his robe and swings it around his head, referee Dave Hebner has to continually duck with the revolutions. Fine.
It gave early on.
That was good. Yeah. Another chant of USA and the two men finally lock up. Holly, whose corner were you in for this one? Bearing in mind, one's friend of the show and the other one is delicious. Which one are you siding with?
Rude.
Yeah.
As much as I want to be in the corner of Duggan, I can't. It always is too much for me. The constant noise and just silly. Yeah, it's just a bit too silly for me. So
I'm fine with silly. Silly's my middle name.
Yeah.
I'll go with okay. Duggan on this one.
Okay.
They tussle around the ring and against the ropes until the king is backed opposite the hard camera. No clean break as Rude delivers a pair of forearms. Whip is countered, but Duggan ducks too early and the champ looks to drag him down with a sunset flip. Ooh. Hacksaw reaches down and grabs a handful of luscious hair before delivering a big right upside the dome. The 306th ho is followed by a clothesline that sends Rick over the top and down to the apron. Hacksaw takes a moment to pose before... That's the pose where the...
Yes.
I don't know how to describe it. The fists in the ribs, chest puffed forward.
Chest, yeah.
Yeah. Hacksaw takes a moment to pose before suplexing the champion back into the ring. Fine. Cover leads to a near fall. Impressive kick out from the champ, who actually forces Duggan back to his feet, where the challenger then connects with three consecutive clotheslines. Hacksaw moves in for a fourth, but before he can connect, Rude falls flat on his face. Fine, actually.
Yeah, it's all right.
Big body slam by the challenger, and he scores with a knee drop to the chest, but still only enough for two. Duggan questions the cadence of the referee's count as Rude begins to fire back, backing Hacksaw into the corner. Corner whip is reversed and the champion connects hard against the buckles but manages to get the boot up on the following charge. Rude heads to the apron and climbs to the top rope, connecting with a big right hand. Mm. Okay.
A high-risk manoeuvre.
Very much a high-risk manoeuvre. A lot of gyrating and flexing by the champion, and the cameraman cannot help but periodically focus on his airbrush tights, yep, which has a picture of his own face on
it. Yes, they did. Oh, go on.
No, I've got it. Rick pulls Hacksaw to his feet, because it said Rick Paul. I was like, who's Rick Paul? Rick pulls Hacksaw to his feet, whilst continuing to gyrate, but his grip is broken and Duggan connects with an inverted atomic drop. Big left and right from Duggan, and he follows up with a brutal pile driver. No. Now that is horrendous.
No, I don't want to see that. Don't like it. It's horrible.
It was. He proper spiked him as well. Really did. Instead of going for the cover, Hacksaw marches around the ring with his thumb up, although it might as well have been up his arse. When he does eventually make the cover at the count of two, Rude drapes his leg across the bottom rope. Ah, yes, he got him! Oh, no, he didn't. Mm. We get one of them early in the career of McMahon. Duggan begins to sell it. I always thought that came in, like, early 90s. So the fact he's doing this in 89, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you got in your stride very soon. Duggan begins to celebrate wildly, and now Haku has made his way down to ringside. Sorry, Jake. Hacksaw steps outside the ring and points towards the crowd, as the official is quickly between them, instructing the interloper to head backstage.
Oh, that's a big word.
Yeah, I know. I was proud when I wrote that, I'm not going to lie. Joey Morella and Dangerous Danny Davis also appear at ringside to accompany the former king to the back. Heenan approaches Haku and reassures him that he should head backstage as we head to what will be the first of many commercial breaks. When we return, we see Duggan marching along the apron with his crown upon his head. Don't know why that suddenly happened, but here we are. When he does re-enter the ring, he is immediately met by a rake to the eyes from the champion. One of the few times Holly might not boo that move.
Yeah, I didn't.
There we go. Right hand and drop kick put the challenger down. Snapmare takedown and elbow drop find their mark. The second and third also hit the target as Rude looks to take over. Shoulder blocks in the corner lead to another snapmare takedown and elbow drop that results in a near fall. Reverse chin lock applied by Rick, as Ventura says that if the champion fixes the nose of Hacksaw, he will have made him look a lot better.
Ooh.
Duggan returns to his feet and punches his way free, but runs directly into a kitchen sink after hitting the ropes.
Oh, that is what it's called.
Well, it's knee to the gut, but yeah, kitchen sink.
Yes.
A fist drop from the champion, who heads back to the top rope and scores with a flying fist drop. Upon landing, he crawls his way to the camera at ringside, blowing kisses. Vince, oh, that is disgusting.
I liked it.
Yeah, That was good.
It works here.
Yes.
Not backstage. Because it's like works here.
Yeah, I felt in the interview, I felt like I got violated by his words.
Oh, okay.
Whereas here, I'm like, okay. Cruel to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, get on your knees, you dirty slag.
God. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no women's wrestlers. I've got to find something.
Yeah, true.
So Rick Rude is probably the prettiest out of the ones we see on this show.
By far.
Who else is on the show? Boss Man, more cushion for the pushing.
Hogan, slip and slide.
I really like Duck a la Ronge, so Hogan's not ruled out. Oh, God. There is nothing else.
No one else is giving.
There is nothing else.
I mean, there's one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, we'd probably make sacrifices there.
Yeah.
Face first into the buckles goes Hacksaw, but he is having none of it. And after emptying a gallon of spit at the camera lens, he no-sells the second and connects with a back elbow before returning the favour to Rude. Duggan begins marching around the ring as the champion clubs away at his back, but it appears to be having no effect. Eventually, Hacksaw turns around and unloads with a series of rights and lefts before sending the champion to the heavens on a back body drop. Duggan strikes the three-point stance before delivering the charging clothesline that sends Rude tumbling out of the ring and he lands in an ugly fashion on top of his head. But I think that it looks safe, but it just looked clumsy.
Yeah.
Hebner begins his count, but even with the assistance of the brain, Rude is unable to make it into the ring before 10.
They do count quite quickly.
Wait until, not even this show, it's the next show, and I'm like, that's not even four, mate.
No.
Not even
one,
four.
Two, done. Three, four.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The more traditional patriotic... Oh, sorry, the winner of this match by countout, King, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan. The more traditional patriotic music plays as Hacksaw grabs Old Glory and marches around the ring waving it. Jess is laughing hysterically as Duggan is too stupid to realise that he didn't win the title on a countout. Holly, what were your thoughts on this match?
Okay, so I really tried to not wipe everything from my mind, which isn't hard, but like take this on its own and not compare it to, say, like the last thing we watched, which was a completely different generation.
Mm-hmm.
So again, try and put myself in the time frame of at this time, would it have been all right? I gave it a 2 out of 5. I know, wasn't long, it was fine. Rude didn't lose his belt, it was great, fine.
And it ended on a countout, and you gave it 2.
2, yeah.
I went slightly differently with it. I gave it 0.5 stars.
Yeah.
Just Hacksaw matches.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, Rude matches haven't particularly done... there's one Rude match we've seen, which
didn't like the let's put your head in a blindfold thing match. That was him and Jake, wasn't it?
Oh, no.
What? Who was that then?
Jake Roberts and Rick Martel.
Oh, that's it. Thank you.
He did have a match with Jake Roberts, which was really bad at WrestleMania,
which went on too long. That's where I'm getting confused. I'm mixing two matches together.
Also, similar hairstyles, relatively speaking, with Tash's. And again, the person that's actually dead out of the two, you wouldn't have expected it to be.
No.
Just Hacksaw matches are tough. And especially when they go on, I consider this to have gone on for quite a long time for a Hacksaw match.
Okay.
So it's punch, kick, clothesline, sometimes a body slam. There was a suplex.
Yes.
The suplex gave it a 0.25 star.
Yes.
Rude in it was fine. Heenan didn't get involved too much, which I guess you could look at two ways, whether that was additive or subtractive.
To me, that's always a plus.
Okay, well then you really would have hated some of the other stuff we see over the next show and a half.
Mm, maybe.
But yeah, I just couldn't get on with it, to be honest. And it's annoying because I know that Rick Rude is decent, but the ones that we've seen, apart from the match with Steamboat, which I did really enjoy, I feel like he's massively under-delivered for me. And I'm surprised by that because I've gone in thinking it's going to be not necessarily like unbelievably good, but watchable.
Okay.
And a lot of it hasn't been.
Oh.
And I blame Jake as much in that match as I blame him because they were given like a really shit end of the stick and they had to do something with it, but yeah, not good. After McMahon references Memorial Day once again, we head backstage to the interview area where Mean Gene is standing beside Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Holly, why are you chuckling?
This guy, stop talking.
He can't, he's on too much cocaine.
Honestly, I've never, even this and the next one, honestly, it's like a Duracell bunny.
Yep.
It's insane.
Gene mentions that the Anvil's opponent tonight is the former WWF champion, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yay!
The next question is simply bizarre, as Gene asks why Jim is having this match at this stage of his career. Are we supposed to believe that he's booking his own matches? What do you mean? Why are you doing this, Jim?
Did he not just put his hand in the tombola and just pull out, like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Tom doesn't like to talk about that, actually, though. The answer is apparently a simple one. He hates him. He hates the way he treated Miss Elizabeth. He hates the way he acted when he wore the championship belt and wants to make sure that he never gets a shot at it again. Mm. Fair enough. He may be able to push women around, but he sure isn't going to be able to push around the anvil.
Oh, God.
You want Hulk Hogan's belt? You're going to have to go through me. Okay. Sure, main event, Jim. I love the idea that Neidhart thinks he's the gatekeeper to the main event. Sit down before you fall down, buddy.
Main event, Jim.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Mid-card.
Mid-card Anvil.
Mid-card Anvil, yeah.
Tag team Anvil, yeah.
Oh, God.
Without Miss Elizabeth by his side, Savage is not much of a man.
Oh.
Gene takes the opportunity to transition to discussing Macho Man's new manager, Sensational Sherry, and asks the thoughts of the Anvil. Scary Sherry!
Jesus Christ.
Is that what he does?
I mean, it is,
there
yeah.
There you go. I aimed a little bit away.
Okay.
I mean, I can
see the bars and how loud those.
That's fine.
But, I mean, you're spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on.
I'm sure people who listen to the show will really enjoy having their ears bashed again. You might want to give advance warning on that one, to be
maybe,
fair.
Maybe.
Or don't. Don't see how it goes.
I mean, let's be clear. I won't remember.
No, that is true. Jim claims that he has her by the flea collar, but that is her problem.
Okay.
What? Ooh. Savage, that is what he says. I'm just trying to put it in context, but I can't. Savage's problem is the anvil, and he does more than bark. As Neidhart makes his way down to the ring, McMahon sends us backstage, where Jesse is standing between the former WWF champion and his new manager. Question for you, Holly. If only one of these two men can wear sunglasses indoors,
ooh,
who would you pick and why?
Ooh. Only one of them.
I think there's only one right answer.
Savage.
Yeah, that is the right answer.
And also, this might die. Neither of them are going to care, obviously.
One of them's dead.
Exactly.
Friend of the show, Jesse Ventura. Go on.
Jesse has a much better looking face.
Yes.
Than Savage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, fine. He can do it.
Savage has nicer eyes.
Do you think?
He's got blue eyes, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
I think he does, anyway.
Maybe he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. I think I made that up.
Oh. I mean...
We rarely see him, though. That's the thing.
Exactly.
Now it's bugging me. Whatever.
Do you want me to Google what colour eyes did...
Obviously.
Okay.
That's going to be amazing on your Google history.
Oh, there's so much shit in there. It's not going to change much.
Ventura says he won't ask Savage about WrestleMania because he knows he is looking to the future and looking to get his belt back. Savage says that the body is 1,000% correct, and after Macho Man has made his way through the anvil, he's going straight for the WWF champion and straight for Hulk Hogan. The woman outside the ring this time will not cause him distraction and cost him any more. Ventura asks if he means Miss Elizabeth and is told to never say that name again. Jess asks how Savage's new manager is working out, and he says, "Beautiful! Gorgeous and lovely at the same time, yeah!" There you go.
Wow.
You got one.
I freaking love it. It's great. And they were blue.
There you go. Why did I know that? That's weird.
I don't know.
Savage then asks Sherry to say, oh yeah, which she happily obliges. Ventura asks how it has been taking over from the First Lady of Wrestling. She refers to Elizabeth as that bony chicken-legged woman, which amuses me as she's effectively slagging off Savage's wife in front of him. People have died for less.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, she is dead. Sherry says that Liz was no wrestler and certainly no lady.
Ooh.
Savage says that it is time to climb the first step on that mountain towards Hulk Hogan, and the two of them walk out of shot. Jesse laughs and warns Hulk Hogan to keep his eyes peeled as Savage is coming for him, and then warns Vince, who he calls Jack McMahon, that he is coming back to announce and to shut his lips.
This is when I start to actually be quite amused by... Because obviously, I mean, he wasn't there for much longer, like you said.
Yep.
But some of what he says, I'm a bit like, I'm not sure he's playing here. I think he's just using it as an excuse to basically call you a bit of a dick.
Yeah, they didn't. They had a very tetchy relationship, the two of them. Because obviously Jess tried to unionise the wrestlers.
Of course.
And got shut down by Ducker LaRange. Match number two.
Yes.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart, main event Jimbo.
Of course.
Big Jimbo versus Randy Savage with Sensational Sherry.
Yep.
Now, how do you feel about the combination of Savage and Sherry?
I don't mind it.
Yep.
But it's no...
It's no Liz and Savage.
It's no love story.
And that's the difference for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. I play a good game, but there is a heart in there somewhere.
Because Sherry obviously offers different stuff at ringside to what Liz does.
It's quite annoying.
Sherry will get involved. Yes. She is one of the boys. Where, no, she is. Like, she made it a point to be one of the guys. And whereas Liz is like, And don't get me wrong, but if you're a predator, that's probably quite attractive. But King isn't on commentary yet. But I just think that Sherry is a very different dynamic, and I like it almost equally, but for different reasons. Yeah. They both have their place, I think. Although I will say that when she starts properly painting her face...
Yes. Why?
Dick straight back up inside me.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up inside me. Yeah, no, it's not good. It's not good at all. Whose corner were you in?
I wonder.
Jim.
Oh, mid-card. Mid-card Anvil.
Mid-card Anvil?
Absolutely not. Savage... All day, day.
Yeah, I'd have to go with. I'd have to agree with you. Although I was a big fan of the Hart Foundation, so
yeah.
I'd have been torn. I think, but I would also go with Savage. As always, the face done it again. It's changed. You know, remember I said that, you know, the typos that it comes out with for certain people.
Yeah.
What did I say it changed Macho Man to?
Macho? Oh no! Oh my God! What is it? Tell me.
Metro Man.
Yes.
As always, the Metro Man music and entrance gear are on point. Holly, what do you think?
Oh, outstanding.
And what about Macho Man?
Metro Man is
What was that?
Amazing.
Somebody gets the train.
I love that.
Brilliant.
Oh my God, imagine if there was a wrestler.
A train conductor called Metro Man.
Oh my God.
Yep.
That would be genius.
Pretty sure there's a video game character called Metro Man. But anyway, doesn't matter. The bell sounds as Savage has his robe removed by Sherry, and he points an accusatory finger towards his opponent, who feints a jab in response, causing Macho Man to recoil. Savage sprints at the ropes but holds on, faking out the anvil before dropping onto his knees and sliding backwards out of the ring. Mind games, Holly.
Ooh.
He climbs to the top rope and points a finger towards the heavens before dropping into the ring and finally engaging in a collar and elbow tie-up. Much like in the opening match, the two men tussle around the ring and against the ropes, where Sherry proves her worth by grabbing hold of the leg of the anvil. Hebner chooses not to see this, and as Neidhart focuses his attention on the outside, he is blindsided by the former champion. Whip is reversed, but Savage looks to score with a sunset flip, which nearly succeeds until the anvil drops to his knees in a pin, resting, laughing maniacally as his bollocks rest on the Macho Man's chest. Kick out at two, and now Savage goes face first into the buckles. The chivalrous anvil now threatens Sherry between the ropes before turning his attention to Savage.
He's changed his tune quite quickly.
He has.
He?
He's like, yo, I don't like how he treated the woman, but this fucking bitch over here,
exactly.
This one I'd punch until my knuckles got
She's
bloody.
One of the lads, so,
exactly, yeah.
You know.
Act like a guy, get treated like a guy. Whip sends the Macho Man into the ropes, and he is clasped in a big bear hug upon his return.
Ugh, boring.
A rake to the eyes eventually frees him from the hold, and a running knee to the spine sends the anvil sternum first into the buckles. Running clothesline puts the tag team specialist down, and we get a close-up of a drunk-sounding Sherry at ringside who eyeballs the camera saying, "Get him, Randy!" Like, I don't know, it's just... It's weird. Kick to the chest by Savage, puts the anvil down, and he begins a blatant choke that has to be separated by the official, allowing Sherry to take over in his absence. Boots across the throat by the Macho Man once more, and Sherry once again takes over after the official steps in. Another kick to the chest, and now Savage heads to the top where he scores with a double axe handle. We get a count of two and a forceful kick out. Body slam attempt seems ill-advised as Savage collapses under the weight of the anvil and nearly costs him the match. Macho Man kicks the anvil onto the apron but takes too long and eats a shoulder to the midsection when he rushes in. On his second attempt, he is met by an anvil that has catapulted himself over the top rope with a shoulder tackle, which looked great. Big fan of that. Go on, mid-card Jim. Both men are down for a moment, and the crowd are really behind Neidhart in this one. When Savage returns to his feet, he's quickly knocked back down with a shoulder tackle, and a second leads to the same result. Savage manages to duck a clothesline off a whip at the first time of asking, but does run straight into the second, two count. Dropkick by the Anvil sends him all the way down to the outside, which I didn't know he could throw himself up that high, to be honest. Sherry is quickly on the scene to offer her support to the former champion, but is soon backpedaling as Neidhart marches her down. Equality. Another standing dropkick by the Anvil on the floor seems unwise. Yep. Puts Savage down again before they return the action into the ring. Delayed power slam by Neidhart gets a close two count. We now see a classic Andre the Giant spot as Savage gets his arms intertwined between the middle and top rope, although his bum is not on the floor because he's not tall enough or heavy enough.
I didn't think this happened for anyone else apart from Andre.
Not only that, he nearly does it in the next show as well.
Well, yes.
Right hands rain down from the Anvil and the referee has to force him to step away. Sherry takes the opportunity to jump up onto the apron and free her man, who then sidesteps a charging Neidhart, causing him to tumble to the blue mats down below. Macho Man quickly heads to the top rope and leaps down, connecting with a double axe handle, sending the Anvil face first into the guardrail. Savage rolls his opponent into the ring and heads to the top rope, where he connects with the top rope elbow drop. We get a hook of the leg and the 1, 2, 3. Your winner by pinfall, Macho Man, Randy Savage. Ooh yeah. Thoughts on the match, Holly?
That's all right. All right, again...
Better than the first.
Exactly, so...
Oh my God, what have you done?
2.5. 1.25. Cool, yeah.
Significantly better than the first match, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and that is why I more than doubled the score for it, so I thought that was fair. But when you said it was better, I was like, oh my God, she has not gone to 3 stars on this.
Oh no, oh
see,
no.
Anvil's shoulder tackle over the rope, very nice.
Yes.
Him throwing a drop kick, okay,
yeah,
sure. It's like throwing a sack of spuds in the air. Doesn't look quite right. He gets one foot the right height and the other one's like, I'm near enough.
Flailing behind.
I'm near enough.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I couldn't do that. So, fair fucks.
You never know.
I would be willing to bet. I would do it and I'd fall and break my elbow and go, see, Holly, I couldn't do it. Oh, dear. McMahon swiftly sends us backstage to Jesse Ventura, who is standing between the Big Boss Man and Slick. Ventura asks Slick how he manages to pull off getting a WWF title match for his charge inside a steel cage. Slickly, very slickly, is the response.
That's good.
Hogan has something to prove. He's running scared and he's lost his cool. Tonight, the boss man is going to put him on ice. So he's going to kill him, just to be clear. Jess now turns the microphone towards the challenger and says that he has finally got Hogan where he wants him, behind bars. What is his plan from here?
I'm ready for this.
Firstly, I'm going to rehabilitate him. When he comes through, I'm going to do it again. What? You're in my jail now. It's around this point the boss man runs out of breath through excitement or poor cardio, I don't know which. Perhaps a combination of the two. Bossman holds the only key and tonight Hogan is going to serve some hard time. Sorry, no, this one needs... Hogan's going to serve some hard time with a hard man!
Oh, you know. So now you're going to fuck him.
So you're going to kill him, fuck him. Are you fucking him then killing him? Or are you killing him then fucking him? Because there's two crimes here. I just want to know what order it is. Because there's three. If you kill him then fuck him... I feel like there's three crimes there.
I can't breathe.
But if you fuck him and then kill him, it's two crimes. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's like some sort of rape and then murder. But if you kill him, then rape him. I guess you've fucked a corpse, so it's necrophilia thrown in as well. So either way, all I know is Boss Man very excited.
Oh, it's just, he said that and I had to pause because I was laughing too much.
He's got that kind of southern twang, but it's not as deep as you'd expect. So he's like, ah, blah, 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 when he's talking. It's
just like hard time with a hard man.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And I played that back for Em and said, thoughts? And she went, what's he talking about? And I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
It gives.
So this was up there for me. I enjoyed that. the fuck does he mean?
Anyway,
Jess points the microphone back towards Slick because that's probably safer,
yeah.
And congratulates him on having done it all. Well, according to Slick, it isn't quite everything, as they have a big surprise later on tonight. I need to get your thoughts on this when we get there.
Stupid.
The boss man and Slick have front row seats, and it's showtime.
Ooh.
Ventura says he's been waiting for this moment for a long time. Finally, the curtain is going to come down on Hulk Hogan. An iron curtain. Does Jess think the boss man is from the Soviet Union? The iron curtain? What are you talking about? There's no one Russian in here. I don't have no idea. It's like Nikolai Volkov's coming out. Like, I don't know what he thinks is happening there.
I can't with this.
It's just chaos, though, isn't it?
Yes.
It's chaos.
Yes.
We now see Bossman and Slick making their way down to the ring. And we can see that the blue cage has been constructed around said ring. Mm. Holly, it's been a while since we've seen the blue cage. Perhaps the first time since WrestleMania 2. Are you happy with this version of the steel cage?
No.
Why?
It just looks awful.
It looks cheap, but you can see what's happening.
I mean, yes, the holes are large enough to see through. I don't know how else to call it. It yeah. just looks awful.
Yeah, the gaps where the lens goes can fit nicely.
It just looks awful.
Yeah, yeah. I'm okay with it. I remember as part of the... I don't think I ever had it, having said that, with the old Hasbro figures from back in the day, like the Bossman one that Jamie kindly gifted me. They had a blue ring, which I definitely had because I used that for my daily Royal Rumbles because that's all I did in my booking territory. And they had like a blue cage that you want.
Sorry. Just imagining in my head if that was actually a real thing. Just every single match just being a rumble.
Yeah.
Like on every single show, every single match would just be different people in
as
a rumble.
In real life or just in my little version?
Putting it into real life.
I feel like it'd get boring.
Imagine. You'd need a lot of people.
You would. All the same people over and over
just
again.
Like, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, but they can't do it.
It's like Mania.
They can't do it in real life like I did it because... No one's putting their hand in a bucket of people and
no,
pulling.
No, it'd be like a tombola.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. The only one as well, if you got used to the feel of these people after a while.
Oh, so you knew who was.
Well, I'll be honest. I knew who Yokozuna was.
No shit.
Okay, because he was literally three times the size. Yeah, exactly. He comes out like, fucking hell. Bam Bam Bigelow was a bit girthy as well.
Okay.
So that was a cool figure. I like that figure.
Yeah.
I need to get them from my mum's at some point. They're somewhere in the loft. Nowhere to put them. Absolutely nowhere to put them. But I feel like... I don't trust her with them either, because it's like my childhood.
They'll just get thrown away at some point.
Yeah, okay, when she goes into the loft. Okay, all right. Absolutely, yeah. When they enter, Slick grabs the microphone and tells the fans that he told them he had a surprise. His surprise is 6'11" tall. His surprise is 343 pounds. His surprise is Zeus. Holly, Tiny Lister making his way down to the ring. Give me your thoughts.
Who?
Tiny Lister?
Who?
You not know him as the actor?
Who?
No?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he was, yeah, an actor. He played, like, a heavy in a lot of stuff. Have you ever seen the Friday films? With Ice Cube, Chris Tucker?
No.
Okay, he was in that. But, yeah, so big actor. Oh. And I'll just give you a little bit of information here.
Okay.
So in case you're unfamiliar as to why Tiny Lister was at a WWF event, this was not too long after the release of No Holds Barred, which featured Tiny Lister as Zeus going up against Hulk Hogan as, his character name, Rip Thomas. Shit film. Vince had a lot of creative input into this film, and it shows.
Is this a different film to the one that we saw the trailer for in one of the other previous shows that we watched?
It's that same film.
Oh God.
Yeah, there's a bit where Hulk Hogan is holding up a bad guy by the lapels and he goes, "Did you just poop yourself?" And the guy went, "Dookie!" Like, it's honestly, it's that level of crap.
Oh God.
It's that level of, yeah. Like, I have no idea why it was even a thing. But anyway, they thought, do you know what? Could probably make some money with this in the real world of professional wrestling.
Jesus.
The real world of professional wrestling.
Real world, yeah.
What an oxymoron. So, that's the reason as to why Zeus is here. Also, WCW used him a little bit. Just putting that out there.
Oh.
Okay. A completely deranged Zeus marches his way down to the ring and slams the door shut on the steel cage.
Mm.
Well done, genius. Hogan isn't even there, you fuckwit.
That really confused me.
Also... Have you seen he's gone to the same acting school as Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Oh.
Yeah. His eyes were throwing up gang signs. Now, heading down to the ring is the WWF champion Hulk Hogan, who's clearly none the wiser as to what's happening in the arena, even though he can hear what was happening and man would have walked past him on his way out to the ring. Because when the Hulkster does see that Zeus is standing on the steel stairs with his arms crossed, shaking like a shitting dog, he pauses in his tracks like, "Brother, Like, what? He didn't know what was going on. Jess says the two men are going nose to nose as Hogan is actually closer in height to Zeus's cock, but they do exchange words. Zeus challenges Hogan to move him before kicking him away in the chest and then delivering some of the worst punches to the back you will ever see in your life. Mm-hmm. After Zeus finishes his episode, he continues to scream as he leaves the ringside area. When we return from the commercial break, Hogan is still lying down motionless at ringside, and we are ready for the WWF title match.
Yeah.
Just drink that all in for a little bit. Did you have any thoughts going through your head, that's just in general,
no.
about, oh, Boss Man's going to win this now?
No.
And I'll be honest as well, something about this match really confused me. And I only realised about two-thirds of the way through it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's because of Hogan that it confused me.
Okay.
So, I'll tell you now, because it doesn't really make a difference. I forgot at this point in time, and correctly so, in my opinion, if it's a cage match, you shouldn't be pinning them or making them submit, because the ref's not...
in there.
Exactly. So, you would... have to escape. I forgot that. I thought because now they do that in the WWE that pins and submissions count. I was like, why does Hogan keep trying to escape?
Oh, I see.
Because that's like a chicken shit move.
Yeah.
Beat the guy properly.
Then that's the only way to win it.
Which is what
or
I then realised.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Again, right, opening of the door in a cage match, dumb. Especially when you've seen the cage door already open, you go, I'm going to go over the top. No, don't do that. Go through the fucking door. Morons. Anyway. Hulk Hogan versus Big Boss Man with Slick inside a steel cage for the WWF title.
Yes.
I'll be honest, Holly.
Yeah.
I was nervous.
Oh.
We have seen multiple Hogan and Boss Man matches.
I know.
None of them have been good.
No.
The WCW one was particularly wank.
Yes. Challenging one.
I thought this isn't going to be good. I was pleasantly surprised.
A little.
I was pleasantly surprised. Given what I thought the two men would bring to the table, I think they did well.
Okay.
Whose corner were you in?
It was really hard for me to care.
Wow.
I think because we've seen it so many times, but obviously it's going to be Hogan. But
there it is.
Yeah, I'm just over it now.
You're over it. Imagine, we've only actually seen like relatively few shows where he's the champion.
Yeah.
And you're over it.
I'm over it.
Wow, he had it for like years.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Boss Man is not willing to wait a moment longer, and he kicks the cage door open, nearly decapitating referee Dave Hebner in the process.
I was a little worried, I'll be honest. A little bit worried.
It's all right, we've already just got the one in spare, haven't we?
True.
We've got the spare tyre. The challenger rolls Hogan into the ring, and the match can officially begin. First thing Boss Man does is rip the top off the champion and wrap it around his neck to choke him.
Well, hard time with a hard man.
Exactly that. Right hand in the corner, and Hogan is sent hard into the opposite buckles, not as hard as Boss Man is, collapsing to the floor upon impact. Headbutt from the Boss Man puts the Hulkster down for a moment before he delivers the dreaded back rake. Brutal thumb to the eye, but Hulk reverses the corner whip and levels the challenger with a clothesline. Right hands from the champion have the Boss Man reeling, but he manages to prevent himself from going face first into the steel cage. Now it's Hulk's turn to rake the eyes of Boss Man. Kick to the guts, and Boss Man is sent hard into the buckles before eating, and I do mean eating, a big boot from Hogan. Mm-hmm. That's like, he hit that hard by the looks of things. And he would do, because he was a hard man. Bizarrely, the champion decides to climb the cage instead of winning like you would expect a face to, cleanly in the middle of the ring. See, this is where I'm confused.
I see,
Boss Man is back on his feet, and as Hogan is climbing the cage in the corner, he's clubbed from behind and brought back down into the ring. More forearms land, and Holly, you hate to see it, Boss Man's shirt is tucked in, but it's now fucking undone. Fuck's sake. Big body slam drives the champion into the canvas, and the correctional officer capitalises with a running splash. Boss Man signals towards the cage door, which opens for him, but as he looks to exit the ring, he's grabbed by the ankle. Hogan lands a number of punches, but his whip is reversed, and he runs into the most half-hearted spine buster I have ever seen. Now it is the challenger's turn to climb the cage in the corner, which is taking him a goddamn age. A particularly sexy moment is when Boss Man is on the other side of the cage. His gunt is resting over the top on the inside of the cage.
Stop it.
It like overlaps his dick.
I know.
It's unbelievable. The Hulkster reaches through the cage and grabs Bossman by the neck before pulling him back to the top, where he chokes him over the top of the steel.
I just think this... I know it happens now as well, but it always irks me with stuff like this.
Drop.
Because just let go.
Yep.
Just let go and you've won.
Oh, yep.
Brilliant.
Incredibly, using the cage for support, Hulk scores with a tremendous superplex, leaving both men down on the canvas motionless. And there was a moment when I saw that, I was like, he's not going to rotate him far enough. Because mm-hmm. Bossman looks like he's coming yes. down directly rather than over, but he makes it work.
Yep.
Jess says that he has never before seen both men in a cage match knocked out at the same time. With neither man having moved for a while, the official enters the ring, why not, to check on the competitor's condition.
That's exactly Hebner. What I've got. I've got, why has he gone in?
Yep. Hebner. Hebner grabs both champion and challenger by the arm and raises them into the air, letting go, seeing both drop down to the canvas. Even more strange, we now begin a slow count to 10.
And what, but if we'd have got to 10, what would have happened?
Draw. But what I get... it's stupid in that respect, but again, let's pretend it's legitimate.
Of course.
Both men are legitimately out cold
sure.
for 12 minutes. And the fans are like, fucking hell, what's going on here? This is ridiculous.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Notes would have been good.
Oh, yeah, true.
Like The Undertaker, Hogan sits bolt upright and begins shaking his head. Slowly, he crawls his way toward the open door, entirely unlike a face, and is eventually pulled back into the ring by the challenger. See, I was still confused at this point.
Yes.
Again, like a heel, the Hulkster rakes the eyes of the boss man for a third time before sending him to the ropes.
Ooh.
Unfortunately for the champion, he is levelled by a big clothesline, aka, what a manoeuvre.
Mm.
From the outside, Slick throws a portion of chain over the side of the cage for the boss man to grab and begin choking the champion. Have you seen the holes in this cage? Just pass it through. Why run the fucking risk? Honestly.
You could fit everything.
You could fit a fucking anchor that fucking kept the Titanic grounded. What are we talking about? It's ridiculous. And he goes, oh, it can only go over the top. Throw was good.
It was good, but imagine if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Why run the risk? Literally, you could have thrown it through the cage, yeah. not even pass it, throw no. it.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, we're no. fine. Oh, I wasn't angry.
No.
No, not at all. Yep. Bossman wraps the chain around his fist, and when Hogan makes it to his feet, he looks to uncork with the right hand. Blocked. Hogan fires back, but is cut off with a thumb to the eye.
Mm.
He manages to prevent himself from colliding face first with the cage, and at the same time, both champion and challenger ram each other's heads into the steel. Sending them down to the canvas. Now it's the challenger's turn to crawl towards the open door, but he is prevented from doing so with a handful of belt. Sesame Street head smashes into the top turnbuckle and the challenger collapses. Hogan now has the length of chain wrapped around his fist and a big right hand drops his challenger not once, but twice.
It not surprised me, but I also was a bit like, isn't Hogan meant to be like the good guy here?
That's what I'm saying.
It's like weird.
Mm-hmm. He does it quite a lot in his matches as well. But then again, for a lot of his early career, he was a heel as well. The Hulkster points to his fans on either side of the ring before running Bossman face first into the side of the cage wall on 3 or 4 occasions.
Stupid, just stop running. So dumb.
Well, if you're going to pick at the threads, the whole wrestling world comes apart.
I know.
The big leg drop connects, and it is only now that I remember that pinfalls do not count inside a steel cage. As Hogan begins to ascend the structure, Slick rams the official face first into the door of the cage. Now he enters the ring and grabs onto the ankle of the champion. Hulk turns around and looks at him dismissively, kicking him away before heading to the opposite side of the ring to punch Bossman in the dick, and that sees him fall groin first across the top rope in a dick guillotine.
Yay!
Either Bossman thinks he's officiating an NFL game and is signalling a touchdown, or he doesn't quite know what to do with his arms as they shoot up into the air immediately upon impact yeah. and stay there.
It's so bizarre.
It's like, yay, hard man! Oh, dear.
Oh, it's worth watching it even just for that bit.
It really is. Hogan retrieves the handcuffs from Slick and punches him in the face before securing the challenger to the top rope with the cuffs. A bloody boss man still tries to make it out of the open door, but is prevented from doing so due to the handcuffs. I like that.
And that was quite funny, I thought.
On the opposite side of the ring, Hogan climbs up and over, but pauses as he realises that Slick is trying to free his challenger with the keys.
Mm.
He quickly drops down to the floor to retain his title and pulls the semi-conscious referee to his feet so his arm can be raised. I won, brother. Slick is in a world of trouble as Hogan has gone in and closed the door behind him. Slick flaps his arms like the most ungainly bird you have ever seen in your life, and he realises the danger he's in. Okay. Hogan twirls the nightstick and pulls Slick down from the cage wall, backing him into the corner. You'll see what a hard man looks like now. He grabs him by the back of the head and sends him flying into the cage wall, and he falls like in slow motion down it. It's very good. Where he's grabbed by the leg and pulled out of the ring by the boss man. Hogan is handed the title as the celebration can now begin in earnest. Hulk holsters the nightstick down his pants and he wishes that that is what he was packing. We have all seen the footage. The champion puts the flat cap of Slick on and continues his posing routine for the more than receptive audience. Holly, what did you think of this match?
I thought it was all right.
Okay.
It was a little bit long for my liking, but I know why it was, because of who it was. So I get it. But I didn't hate it. It gave more than I thought it would, for sure.
Okay.
2.75.
We finally crossed over. 3.25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I actually thought it was a very good cage match, especially for the era and who was in it. Just because we've seen what they've done before, and I've been so bored and found it quite painful at times that my expectations were through the floor for this one. And I saw it and went, ah, do you know what? I enjoyed that. To the point where if someone said, you have to watch that again, I'd go, okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going, oh, God, not this one again. So, yeah, credit to both of them on this. And I thought the superplex alone
was great. That was very good.
When we return from commercial break, McMahon informs us in a moment we will see the attack. We will see the tag team titles up for grabs as Demolition will face off against the Brainbusters. Vince sends us backstage, where Jesse is standing amongst the Brainbusters and Bobby the Brain Heenan. As Arn and Tully psych each other up, Ventura asks the Brain what he has to say to the people who tell him he'll never manage the tag team champions. Heenan says that they're all jealous. Seeing is believing. Also, he manages Rick Rude, the Intercontinental Champion. Have I missed something? Because the way that Jess actually words it makes it sound like you'll never manage a champion.
Yep.
I'm literally on the same show. We've already had it happen. Heenan says that tonight is not just a night for Bobby Heenan. Tonight is a night for the entire Heenan family. When one wins, they all win. Jess asks Tully if he's got enough cocaine. Tully says yes. Jess asks Tully if he thought they would get a shot at the tag team titles. Blanchard says that the Brain told them if they believe in themselves enough, they would make it happen. And here they are. Tonight, Matthew, we're going to be tag team champions.
That's a good little Stars in Their Eyes reference. I like that.
You know what? It's all right, isn't
I
it?
I like that.
Arn is thinking that those belts are already theirs. All they have to do is now go out and pick them up.
I mean, I'd rather they did that than actually watch this. But
there is something about an Arn Anderson promo that screams at me, pay attention.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't do it for me.
Arn Anderson specifically. Tully Blanchard, no.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson, yes.
Maybe because they're both together for me, it just doesn't...
When he talks, it's like I believe that he believes what he's saying, which really helps. Like, you know how we say with the Jake promo?
Yeah, they're my favourite.
You just listen, you go, really good. Arn doesn't often actually shout, but he's super intense. Oh. And I think it really works. I think Arn Anderson is massively underrated from a historical perspective, both in-ring and on as a promo. I think he's really good. The Body asks Heenan if he has any worries about the reigning tag team champions. And the Brain confirms, I do have just one concern. That his boys will contract lead poisoning due to the cheap paint worn by Demolition on their ugly faces. Other than that, he doesn't have a single worry in the world. Is he winning you over a little bit?
It's like I said earlier, I like it when he talks.
Yep.
But I don't want to see him get involved.
We haven't really had him on commentary that much either in the shows. We've had him on a few, but not many. The time I actually felt really bad for him, and I remember you enjoyed this happening, was, you remember at WrestleMania 9? Obviously, he comes out backwards on the camel start. Which is great. But when he's on commentary, Savage, his whole thing is to shut Bobby down.
Yeah.
And Bobby can't work off being completely shut down. He needs the back and forth.
Yes.
And I feel like Bobby just goes, I don't really know what to do with this. Yeah. So it shuts his entire routine down.
Okay.
And Savage doesn't come out looking great, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
On that thing, it's if he allowed Heenan to go back and forth with him, that would have been great, because Savage would come out with some bizarre shit.
Yeah.
But Heenan on commentary in general, we need to get to... There's two Royal Rumbles that he's fantastic in. I think it's 92 and 93, or 91 and 92. Brilliant.
Okay.
Really, really good. So we have to get that on the docket at some point. As the challengers make their way down to the ring, we swiftly head backstage once more to Mean Gene and the defending champions. Axe has a look on his face as though someone just asked him what size his tits are. I said it before, I'll say it again, the glitter in the hair is terrible.
Yes.
Mean Gene asks them how they feel about this critical match. An actual response by saying that's him. This isn't... Oh, yeah, sorry. About this critical match. The response was him to say, this is the Night of Champions. No, it's not. Saturday night's main event. Just to be clear. Just to be clear.
We've already done that.
Yeah, we did that literally last show. How weird's that, though? Yeah. Like, bit of serendipity. He refers to the challengers as a pair of egg beaters, and I generally do not know what that means.
I feel like
it's another gay bashing joke, but I don't know.
Egg beaters. I don't know. Whisk, innit?
Well, it is, yeah. You pair of whisks. I don't know. That's something else for you to Google for me. Gene asks them if they believe that they'll be able to beat the Brainbusters. Smash says, beat them, we will demolish them. As Demolition walk out of shot, Gene says that this is what wrestling is all about. What? Dominatrixes? Glitter? Paint? What do you mean? But anyway, Gene's excited, so I guess I'm excited. Have we found out the...
No, it doesn't say anything.
Oh, so it's not even an insult, really?
No.
Oh, come on, Axe, you're better than that.
I mean, maybe it will... I don't know. No, not a clue.
I would love to see, like, a promo where someone just completely can't think of something to say as a... like a pun or a suggestion, you know, like with Duggan went, oh, you're a bit pink if you ask me. Someone just completely go nothing, go, ah, oh, you like to eat men's assholes, or just something ridiculous like that, and be like, what? Excuse me? Like, there was one, I think it was it a Dr. Schultz promo back in the day? I feel like it was Dr. Schultz, and he was being interviewed, and he referred to someone as a wind jammer.
A who?
A wind jammer.
Oh.
And Gene was like, what do you mean a windjammer? He said, and he basically explained it. A windjammer is when you've got a log of crap that you can't get rid of and it's stopping you from farting, and he called them windjammers. And I, ever since then, never used it, but that is in my head.
In the docket.
Yeah, it is, very much so. So at any time, if you hear me call someone a windjammer...
I know what it means.
Yes, a poo nugget is basically what we're calling them. There's a match. Yeah. There's a match. The WWF tag team titles are on the line as Demolition take on the Brainbusters with Bobby the Brain Heenan. Thoughts? Whose side are you on?
Not Demolition.
Why?
I'm just really not a fan.
I thought you did like them.
No, it's the other guys I like.
Pals in Paint. What?
I'll tell you on the next show.
Oh. Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Demolition were the WWF knockoff version of Legion of Doom.
Yeah. Just Demolition don't do anything for me.
Great tune, though.
Yes, that is. I don't know. Not interested. So Brainbusters it was.
Yeah, I know that with hindsight now, I'd pick Brainbusters, but I know back then I'd have picked Demolition. Well, I wasn't cognizant of wrestling then, but if I was, that's what I would have gone with. Because apparently you have to have been alive on that particular patch of Earth to be able to pass comment on anything, I've learned recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I know, right?
It's a new thing.
Yeah, if someone mentions World War II, Christ, some people have a meltdown.
Oh.
But we'll save some of the World War II references to the next show, I think.
Oh, God. Oh, no, really? Just people just being...
All over it.
Oh.
Did you not spot this? Oh, don't worry, I've got you covered then.
No.
You're in for a treat. There's genuinely about like six different references to it.
Oh.
When the champions have entered the ring, they remove their dominatrix masks, and as usual, Smash sticks out his tongue, looking like he's gone down during a visit from Aunt Flo, if you catch my drift.
Oh my God.
Smash, see, I can be subtle.
Oh, God.
Because you've seen his tongue now, and that's all you can think of. Smash and Tully lock up, and the challenger finds himself sent head over heels into the corner as he was shoved off. Tully looks to charge in, but slams on the brakes as Smash raises his boot. I don't know why, I really like that. He rushes in, Smash just throws up a boot as a warning, and Tully actually puts the brakes on.
Yeah.
That's good.
Stop running.
It's good, yeah, exactly makes that. Sense. And they did. Oh, someone's getting excited and sending us stuff on the Win Twice chat. We'll save that for later. Smash fakes him out by turning around, only to connect with a discus clothesline as Tully runs in once again. Blanchard rolls to the outside, but the champion is in hot pursuit. They return to the ring where Smash drops down before scooping Tully into the air in a bear hug. Heenan is immediately on the apron, distracting the official, allowing Arn to enter the ring and break up the hold with a knee to the back. The Brainbuster is double teamed. The Brainbusters double team Smash and whip him to the buckles, but he bounces out and levels Tully with a clothesline. Having avoided the impact, Arn thinks he has pulled a fast one, but he also gets dropped when he turns back round. Smash makes the tag to Axe, who clubs away on Anderson and puts him down with a back elbow off a whip. Body slam to Arn, but Anderson rakes the eyes when he returns to his feet.
Boom.
Whip reversal sees Arn throw the brakes on as he approaches the corner of Demolition, but he is struck from behind with a running clothesline, sending him crashing into the buckles. Tag made to Smash, and Arn is laid across the ropes, where both champions punch away on his midsection. That's quite good. Side headlock apply. It's like simple, but it's effective. Yeah. Tag made to Smash and... Oh no, we've done that. Side headlock applied by Smash and he continues to wrench away. Arn pushes him off and as Smash comes into contact with the ropes, Tully delivers a knee to the back. No dice, as Smash turns and grabs him by the throat. Anderson delivers a knee to the back and impressively suplexes him to the canvas, but as the Brainbuster celebrates, Smash has rocketed back up to his feet.
Mm.
No selling another thing that the Legion of Doom would do.
Tully
points behind his partner, who is met with a kick to the ribs and a big body slam. Blanchard is now in the ring and he misses the right hand before being hit with an atomic drop moments after Axe delivers a body slam to Arn. Tully stumbles from the impact into a further body slam from the biggest man in the match. Both challengers gather themselves on the floor for a moment before returning to the ring. Tully is backing off, but after Axe screams at him to come on, he fires off a few overhand chops that have little to no effect. Back Blanchard into the corner, and he is whipped into the opposite buckles. Axe charges in, but runs into a pair of knees from the second rope. Pair of knees. New sentence.
Mm-hmm.
From the second rope, Tully takes flight, looking to score with a standing elbow, but is caught midair and run back first into the corner. Big corner whip sees Blanchard go over the ropes and onto the apron, where he pauses just short of running into Smash. Elbow from Axe knocks Tully down to the floor where Smash presses him overhead and deposits him back into the ring. That's impressive.
It is.
On the opposite side of the ring, Axe clotheslines Blanchard over the top and down onto Bobby Heenan, which makes the Brain debate entering the ring himself. And also, it looks like he properly does get nicked
it
with
does.
The knee on the head. And I imagine that is my kind of rage where you want to take out, no, full well, you will lose.
Yep.
But you're like, no, I've got to do something here. And Bobby gets all of that going,
it's
which is great.
Yeah.
Is great. Arn and Tully wisely prevent him from doing so and begin marching him down the aisle to safety. When we return from commercial, we see a woozy Heenan standing at ringside as Tully is pulled over the top rope back into the ring. Punch to the gut drops Blanchard off a whip and he is snapmared down to the canvas where he has a neck crank applied. Come on, Weasel! Taunts Axe from the middle of the ring. Tag to Smash, who lands a right to the gut before whipping Blanchard into the buckles and raising him into the air in a double chokehold. Arn hits the ring and strikes the knee from behind, causing Smash to fall to the canvas hard. Snapmare leaves Smash tangled up in the ropes, and the Brain is very animated in his encouragement of Arn, who is stomping away. Tag made to Tully, who leaps from the top rope to land a flying whoopsie on the chest. Stun gun over the top rope and Anderson is quickly tagged back in where he delivers a beautiful spinebuster. No one does it better.
Yep.
He pauses for a moment before making the cover which only gets two. Powerful kick out but the challengers remain in control as Tully delivers a blow before flouncing his way around the ring to taunt Axe on the apron. Because he does this kind of like weird strutting thing. It was very odd. Blanchard delivers elbows to the back of the neck and lifts the champion's legs as Arn chokes him over the top rope. Tully runs interference to prevent Smash from making the tag as Arn looks to take over. Near the top of the head. Answers on the back of a postcard there.
Yeah.
Knee to the top of the head gets another near fall. Chinlock applied, but only for a moment as Smash makes it back to his feet and overpowers the enforcer. He looks to make it back to his corner, but is tripped up by Arn, and Tully knocks the big man off the apron. Smash is thrown through the ropes down to the floor, and as Tully distracts Axe, Anderson drops a double axe handle off the apron. We're getting a lot of double axe handles, aren't
yes.
we? Tag back to... Well, if you pulled out a Hurricane Runner, I would have been very surprised.
That'd be great, then.
Well, Arn Anderson doing a Hurricane Runner.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Tag back to Arn, who pulls Smash back into the ring. Every time I think Smash, I'm thinking that shit mashed potato.
Ugh.
Yep. In the corner, the two men... Google it for anyone who doesn't get that reference.
Grim.
Like, done by alien robots, right? Was the advert?
I think so.
It's basically... Right, the short version is, it's basically powdered potato that you mix with water that turns into, like, a creamy mash, but
Mm-mm.
no. I don't think so. Anderson drops a double axe handle off the apron. In the corner, the two men exchange. Yep. In the corner, the two men exchange right hands, and the champion eventually gets the better of, but a big right hand thrown at the same time leaves both men down on the canvas. As Arn tries to hold Smash in place, Blanchard sneaks around the outside and pulls Axe off the apron. When he returns, Arn puts him back down with a big left hand. Now all four men are in the ring throwing punches. Clothesline by Axe drops the enforcer, and in a fit of rage, he tosses the official across the ring. The brawling continues as the bell sounds to signal that this one is over. The Brainbusters are both thrown over the ropes and down to the floor, leaving Demolition to stand tall with their arms raised. Howard Finkel announces that the winners by disqualification, the Brainbusters. As the challengers celebrate their victory on the outside, Demolition exit the ring to continue the beatdown. Jess claims that it is deplorable how the champions got themselves intentionally disqualified in order to retain their titles. Holly, what are your thoughts?
I put that the interference was a little bit annoying, but I weirdly found it amusing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to me.
Oh, with Heenan?
Yeah.
Are we finally swinging on the Heenan pendulum?
I don't know. I gave it 2.5.
So did I.
Did you?
Yeah, 2.5.
Oh,
exactly what I gave it.
Okay.
Middle of the road, or as whatever you would call it. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
Well, really good for the time.
Of course.
I mean, Saturday night's main event, having a 3.25 and a 2.5 in my books is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had one where it never broke, I think, 0.5 stars on one of the shows.
Yeah.
Would it have interested you then to see these two teams go at it again?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know why I thought you might say yes. Are you saying no halfway through me taking a sip?
I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. So, we go from there.
Yes.
When we return from commercial break, we see Ventura standing backstage with Randy Savage and Sensational Sherry. Jess congratulates the Macho Man on his victory against the Anvil earlier in the evening, but asks him what is on the horizon.
Ooh.
He dramatically points off the camera into the distance before turning and saying, Hulk Hogan. No, I'm not going to do this. No more ducking.
You're so tempted.
I was. I thought I did all right earlier, so I'm thinking I'll rest on my laurels. No more ducking and hiding, Hulk Hogan. I am now the number one contender. The idea that this could have been Jim Neidhart tickles me. Savage promises that he will get his WWF title back and says that in doing so he will teach Hogan a lesson and then he won't be fit to be a movie star.
Ooh.
Macho Man says that in Sensational Sherry... What?
Go on.
No, that's where it finishes.
Oh.
Macho Man says that in Sensational Sherry, I think he has a real manager, a real woman who can
yes.
help him.
Yeah.
I've just stopped there. Sherry has a question for the WWF champion. What you gonna do, Hogan, when the madness runs wild on you? Sherry says, oh yeah. Then Savage joins in on a, ooh yeah. Then all three of them join in with a, ooh yeah. Looking directly at the camera. Yeah. It's so campy.
It is.
It's
but
so
I loved
campy.
It. I loved it.
We now head back down to the ring, where Boris Zukov is singing the Soviet national anthem.
It giveth and it taketh away.
He doesn't get very far as he's interrupted by the music of Super, Super, Superfly. Jimmy Snuka.
Sorry, I at this point paused the show and went, hang on.
Yep.
You're done.
There's like 4 minutes left.
4 minutes.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, okay, well at least I know it won't last long.
It's rare that I cheer on a murderer as well, but come on, Snuka, let's get it done. Final match of the evening, Holly. Boris Zukov with Slick, because he's obviously got connections to the Soviets,
obviously.
Versus Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah.
Whose corner were you in?
I don't care.
I'm backing the official.
At this point, I was like, I really just don't care.
The entirety of the notes for this match, so brace yourself.
Oh, nice. Do you want to see mine?
Yep. That's... I kind of want to hear yours, though. That's the thing.
It's not worse. Hey, you've got to wait until I do a full rundown of a match.
Oh, yeah.
We decided what one's coming.
Which
yeah,
one?
Yeah, we decided.
The Knoxville one.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. That's so far away.
I know.
Snooker jogs down to the ring in traditional island garb to a warm reception. When entering, appears to have some sort of seizure. Oh, no. He's fine. He's okay. Slick seems to have recovered very quickly, having been dashed against the side of a steel cage approximately 20 minutes ago. And Holly, they tell me wrestling isn't real. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. The match begins with a kick to the midsection from Zukov. By the way, my notes start for the match halfway through the match, so I've read half the notes for this little section already.
Oh, okay.
The man from the Soviet makes a grave error, though, as he looks to drive the head of Superfly into the turnbuckles. No effect. When he tries again, the Superfly goes wild-eyed, and I wonder if that is what his girlfriend saw moments before she passed away. Snooker rams Boris face-first into the buckles on two occasions before eating a right hand in retaliation. Side headlock by Zukov, and he is pushed off and dropped with a flying forearm. Backbreaker looked dangerous as I thought he was going for a body slam, and now Superfly is heading to the top rope. Superfly splash, which I'll have to give credit to, always looks impressive, and I don't know why. It's because he's such a massive man that when he lands, it looks impactful.
Yeah, I agree.
And we get the hook of a leg for the 1, 2, 3. Holly,
yeah.
Thoughts on the match?
I have massively overscored this. And do you know why?
Because
it was so quick.
Yep.
1.5 out of 5.
That's mental.
The points, I've literally put the points are because it was so quick. And a nice splash, that's it.
Yeah, the splash got it, what I gave it, 0.25 stars. Because it wasn't a match, really, to be fair. Backbreaker looked dangerous. Mm. Yeah. I mean, the fact that's not as egregious as your 3 stars for, and I will always go back to it, Ultimate Warrior and Triple H. It is the maddest thing you have said on this show. We've said some mad stuff.
Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. In terms of a rating, okay. Yeah. No, I can't. After what I hope is the penultimate commercial break, we return to see Mean Gene standing beside the WWF champion, Hulk Hogan. Gene congratulates Hulk on his first network television defence of the title since regaining it at WrestleMania, then points out that things didn't start off the way he had expected. Hogan says that Zeus has continued to be a problem for him. All the way through the filming of the movie to now, Zeus is always getting in his face. Hulk tells him to forget all about Hollywood and to step down to the squared circle so he can show him what Hulkamania is all about when it's running wild. He did. And you lost.
Yeah.
Mean Gene says that after having seen clips of No Holds Barred, he's seen Hulk in a way he never thought he would see him. Shit acting. I think we've seen that. And that Hulk must be proud of what he's done. Hulk can't wait to lay this on all of his Hulkamaniacs, and he sends a personal invite to all of them to come and see the movie. Assume he plans on paying them then as well?
Yeah.
Okay. We've seen Hulk Hogan in a title match. We've seen Hulk Hogan in a cage match. But we have never seen Hulk Hogan when there is No Holds Barred. What the fuck's a cage match?
Yeah.
If that's not No Holds Barred, you were choking him with chain.
So stupid.
And he was a hard man. Okay?
Oh.
After the final break, we return to commentary where Vince asks Jesse if he's had a nice time in Des Moines. Sarcastically, after doing a Holly eye roll, he says, yeah, sure.
Why is it a Holly eye roll?
Because no one does it. Like, there are many eye rolls out there, but there's only one Holly eye roll. It's like the Marks and Spencers of cuisine, your eye roll.
It really is.
It's up there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because yours kind of makes like a noise. I don't know, like, you can hear it. So sometimes I've just heard something and, like, someone said something in the distance.
Yeah.
And you've made a noise, and I've just gone, she's rolled her eyes there. And I've asked you, and you went, yeah, I absolutely
really?
Did. Yeah, 100%.
But
you
can just tell.
Yeah, it's like, you know when I get the radar go off sometimes?
Yeah, yeah.
Similar thing for that.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
Okay.
It's weird. It's not as strong. It's a different... So one's more like a kind of a buzz, and the other's like a hum. So I know which one it is to react to, yeah. So, yes, apparently we haven't seen him No Holds Barred. After the final break, we return. Yep, Des Moines, absolutely not. McMahon thanks us for tuning in to watch Saturday night's main event and tells everybody to make sure that they also tune in to a special summer-themed Saturday night's main event in July. Hopefully that will come up on YouTube at some point.
Yay.
Jess is severely aggravated by this as he thought he was done with Vince for the season. As the body continues his rant, we see highlights of Hulk Hogan celebrating his title win inside the steel cage from earlier on. The credits roll and this show comes to a close.
Woohoo!
Holly, it's a lot in an hour and 5 minutes, that.
It's manic.
Well, we've turned it into an hour and 20, so...
I know.
What did you think of the show overall?
By no means was it bad, but by no means was it good. It is...
Okay.
Bang average, 5 out of 10 as an overall show. It felt a lot longer than an hour. A lot.
Agreed, and I did this in one sitting, which was...
Yeah.
Very... I did both in one sitting, in fact. I am trying to think if there was a Saturday night's main event that I've preferred watching to this one.
Okay.
And I don't know, because I know we did the one with Kevin Owens and Cody, but that doesn't feel the same.
No,
so even though Jess was there and stuff, it's a different product entirely. So off from memory, I think this might have been my favourite one of the Saturday night's main event.
Okay.
Now, we didn't get Cousin Fucker wedding and all that kind of stuff.
No.
And I miss Elmer. For these moments where he's just not hearing, not doing anything.
No.
We could all do with more Elmer. But yeah, so for me, I would probably go... do I go 6? I might go 6, you know.
Okay.
I was torn between 5.5 and 6. But I feel like 6 is justified because it is such a cut above the other ones, in my opinion, that we've seen.
Okay.
Because we've had two or three matches there where I gave it decent enough scores, I think. Which, again, was a surprise to me. But, yeah, the cage match really over-delivered, I thought.
Yeah.
But I was fine with it. I was fine with
okay.
it. So, not bad.
No.
Not bad, all things considered. But, again, we're not done. We're at the favourite part of the show for everyone.
No.
Well, in this era, we get more options that... Oh, do we not?
Not in this show.
How many are on
Three.
The... Three. Oh, okay, so Savage, Jess.
No, Jess didn't make it.
Oh, my God. Well,
he's only wearing a T-shirt and a bandana.
Sherry?
No.
Rude.
Yeah.
Savage, Rude, and I don't know. Who else you got?
So, this won't take long. I've got, obviously, Rude, the black robe, the sparkly robe that he wears. Then the yellow tights with the belt on the front and his face on the back are genius. His tights always, to me, are great. Savage, obviously, white, silver, the headband. It's just, it's perfect.
Classic.
Perfect. Yeah. And you know what I've put in there? Demolition. It meets, to me, I've put, it's Kiss meets David Bowie meets Punk meets Bondage.
I didn't know Punk was into Bondage.
Oh, shush, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, fine.
And that's it.
I will rule out Demolition in your... I think, actually, it's going to be closer than I expect. I'm going to say Rude, you know.
Oh, you're so annoying.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought that Savage, whilst his stuff is good, it's not a spectacular Savage.
It wasn't.
And Rude did look on point with everything he had. So I thought if ever there was going to be a change in pace...
He's made it to the list.
Rick Rude has made it into the Holly Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Again, we still need to work
out... I will do it.
I think that's a bit of project work or homework for people to be doing. But yeah, Holly, because obviously we're doing these back to back, so we're going to have to put a pause in this and start the next one because obviously I'm away towards the end of the month. But
shocking.
I believe we'll still have an episode every week for that period, and then you're away, and then we won't, I don't think. But we tried.
When I go, it's just like, fine, we're
done. I think it's because it's an awkward time because normally there's a bit of a gap between us. Whereas
there's only about a week.
Exactly.
So
it's very tough to kind of to make that a reality. But. Holly, can you tell the lovely listeners how they can get in contact with us, should they so desire?
No.
Okay.
WinTwicePod@gmail.com for email, because you always tell me off for calling it a Gmail.
Would you call it a Hotmail?
What, if I give out my email address?
You say, oh, do you want my Hotmail?
Always.
Brilliant. Do you want my MSN?
Oh, God. Those were the days.
They were the days.
And then... Win Twice Pod on Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, we are very much on the doorstep of 4,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is really nice. So thank you very much. But yeah, if you have any requests for shows or any feedback in terms of shows that we have seen, like I said, any ones that come through to me, I do try and make sure that I have a look before we do the recordings so that I can then add them to the list if anything does come up. But yeah, so I've had a lovely time.
Yeah, me too.
Holly's had a lovely time. Let's see if she says goodbye this time. I bet you she doesn't, especially now I've said it.
Bye.
Well, no. No. Right.
That counts. You didn't specify when.
Okay, bye.
Until next time, this has been a Win Twice Wrestling production. Peace out.